You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 12, you will note, please, God giving us the instructions in the light of the great catalog of those that look to God in faith, believing, and God bless them. So we come to chapter 12, God then deals with the believers, that's us, and he says something in the middle in the light of his crucifixion. And we have to be very careful we don't say our suffering, our hardship, our problems are too great. And God reminds us in chapter 12, don't start saying that. Before you say anything, remember what I have been through. I went to the cross. I bore the sin of the world. Before you say anything of complaint, quiet your heart. Now, the context. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons, you're illegitimate. God, if we're going to come in your direction, and he that cometh in your direction, you will in no wise cast out. John 6. So if we come and we get there, what can we expect? You're going to deal with us as father to sons, father to children. You're going to bring us into your wonderful home, heart, and your heavenly atmosphere. But you're going to quicken us, chasten us, prepare us, discipline us. What child is there growing up that doesn't have to go through discipline? To grow up with no discipline is horrible. We're the losers for it. So we grow up. And God, if you love us, you're going to chasten us. Absolutely. Absolutely. You say, well, why didn't God let that happen and all of this? Well, because God had very good reasons. And we've been looking at that in the study of Jeremiah. Now, back over to Jeremiah, chapter 20. In Jeremiah chapter 20, and you would recall, as we read and came to the end of chapter 20, verse 18, as we came to the end of that, and then we commence chapter 21 and a whole new movement, two or three different movements, actually, movements. Jeremiah's laid the groundwork, the city's going to be destroyed, and then he's all these... the nations, everything, God's going to, what's going to happen to Babylon, etc. Now, so here, as we share together, Jeremiah, and we share together chapter 20, in verse 12. But, O Lord of hosts, armies, everything is under your control, seeth the Lord of hosts that seeth, that triest, to put to the test, put to the proof, the righteous, and seeth the reins and the heart. God, so here Jeremiah is very conscious of the fact, as we looked at that in some detail, that God, the word try, to test, to put to the test, God, that's what God does to people that are in his cubicle, that are in his direction. God chastens them, God disciplines them, God trains them, God puts them to the proof to develop them. Otherwise, we don't develop. We don't learn. We have to learn. You don't love, you learn to love, if that's what you understand that. You learn to do things. You don't just instinctively do them. Some things is true instinctively, but not the main things. No, you have to learn them. And therefore, here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had to be shared. He went through ups and downs and all of those things, and we share together that as he, at this point especially, looks at Jerusalem, and there is great grief, looking at it. It's his people, his family, it's the whole history from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, our whole history. And if you can't grab that a little bit, then just think of your own body. And when it is in pain and heartache and grief, do you feel it? Are you conscious of it? Are you moved by it? Sure you are. Now you have a little way to understand Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul, and our Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, bearing our sin in his own body in the tree. You have a sense now how, why, grief, awful, awesome grief. Yes, sir. Now, and thus Jeremiah's own heart is given grace, and God is there to help him through it all, father, training, chastening. And so Jeremiah is being chastened, trained, each time always higher and higher, exercised more and more. Each exercise advances to the next level. So what? Because it's pretty soon he's going to go and look at the destruction, literally. He's going to live through it. And you have to understand that part. He's going to live. Nebuchadnezzar comes in. All of these things, people are getting killed and everything, and he lives through that. So he isn't distant, he's living in it. And God just spares him all the way down the line. So here's Jeremiah is given grief, has grief. He has also God's wonderful grace. And he also has God and his word. That's the whole thing. We shared together. Jeremiah is exercises. He is exercised by God to be a vessel fit for the master's use. And being a vessel fit for the master's use, he's able to go, and God uses him to be the fire to melt Jerusalem and Judah. In order to bring out, is there any pure gold? Is there any silver in you? And all the time it's always dross and that which you have to throw away. But God, you persisted all these years to do so in your grace, absolutely. And you did it for 120 years with Noah, so that's understandable for a little bit. Now, having said that, so the heart, Jeremiah's heart, is to be awakened to the realities of the world in which he's in, and he has to see them. He has to see them as they really are. You cannot have a wonderful optimism without a biblical realism. You can't make believe. Lots of people make believe about themselves, about their job, about their marriage, about a whole lot of things they make believe. And you're trying to find reality and comfort. There isn't any. Because it's only make-believe. Only make-believe. So God hears Jeremiah, and he is well prepared, being prepared, to exercise his consistent ministry of sharing and exercising the people of Jerusalem, the people of Judah. Now, and so God, and the message that God is giving to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah thus is sensing it for himself and for Jerusalem, that God absolutely cares, and God is concerned, and God is seeking the greater, the smaller, it wouldn't make any difference. God is going to go and exercise his wonderful grace in a most wonderful way. Now, so God, here we are, and here's Jeremiah. And we have, as we're reading, putting us together. It's part of us. God, we're here we are, and here's your word, and God, we want to get it, and we're whosoevers. We aren't just whosoevers. We're all whosoevers. But we're whosoevers that believe. Ah, different group. That's right. And we have a unique relationship to you that we are being changed. And you know the epistles and all. We're being changed from one image to another, and we're growing and growing and knowing. And what God is, we just read it in Hebrews 12, to conform us to the image of his Son. To be a child of God, you have to understand the Father, have to understand God, in order to enjoy and be a good family member. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me, please, over. Oh, to get the thought of this, Job. Back over to Job. We were there. And I need to go back there. In Job chapter 20. Job chapter 20. Now, picking up the thought. 23. Job chapter 23. And in the process. Remember now, Job is a grand example along with Jeremiah. Job is God's man and has a heart for God. His sons, we don't know nothing about, they did. His wife, no. But Jeremiah did. I mean, Job did. And God dealt with Job in a most wonderful way because Job had a relationship. And you can't have a relationship to God that's real and right without going through the rigors. God's going to do what he does. If you really have a relationship, he's going to go and do it. That's what it's going to be. Otherwise, you can make believe and never have anything, ever. Now, here's Job, and we share together in the process the little word. I'll read verse 10 to get us a little bit again. But he knoweth the way, God knoweth the way that I take, said Job. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held the trial, a test, the crucible. My foot hath he held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. No, I didn't back off, I didn't back away, I hung right in there. God, I want the whole thing, I want the whole thing. Wow, I want the whole business, no matter what, no matter how it hurts. I remember getting a test once, since that popped into my mind here, medical test once, and the test was a biopsies. And in the process of it, that was before they used NumbSit, And so the first shot, and I had to have three more shots up there. And man, I was sweating and everything. And he called the nurses in, doctor did, bless his heart. And the nurses held my hands and he said, I'm going to stop. I said, don't stop. Finish the job, no matter, finish it. And he did. Have you got the idea? Things, God, here we are looking, and here's Job, and Job's feeling. What I just said is nothing compared to Job, but it gives you a sense. And Job is there, and he's got all of this, and Job is being tested something awesomely so. Now, therefore, we share together in verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've hung right in there. I didn't back off. I have esteemed, treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, the words that God has speaking to me, it isn't what he's doing to me. It isn't what's happening to me. It's what he's trying to say to me. I'm trying to get the message of what I'm supposed to understand. Therefore, my necessary food is, and food is in italics, my necessary, that's one word, that's right, my necessary, slide down verse 14, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. The word appointed is the word, as we shared last time, my mouth, more than necessary food is the same word, appointed. God, you have appointed certain things for me, and they aren't going to change. We shared it together in verse 15. Therefore, am I troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him? Nor, for God maketh my heart soft, pliable, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off from the darkness. God left me smack dab in the middle of it. Neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. He made it real. I had to see the horribleness of Jerusalem, the people, Nebuchadnezzar. I needed to see the horribleness of things, not the pleasantness, the horribleness. And God, you didn't hide that from Job. No, I didn't. Now, Job, that's what the appointed. God has appointed that wonderful sequence of events to test and educate Job. Now, point. It wasn't about the educational system, Hebrews 12. It wasn't about the chastening and that and the lessons. No, no. It was to get you to be in the place to hear what I'm saying to you. The trial, the test, the pain, the heartache, the headache isn't what it's about. It's about paying attention to what God has said. That's what it's about. It isn't about any of that. Nope. No. Wow, God, that's all things. It's not about that. Nope. Hang on, let's see it. It's my food. How am I going? What do we do when we eat? We eat the food in order to live. Why do we eat the food in order to live? In order to what? To exercise life. What do we do with food? We're going to go and eat the food. God, you're going to put us through the test. And the test is going to give us a healthy reality of things. And in the healthy reality of things, we're going to be able to look to you and pay attention. And learn. Now, it isn't learning from the pain. It's learning because of the pain. Now, picking up in thought, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so Job, you're doing that, absolutely, God said, and in the process, I am going to do the, I'm going to get you to be rightly aligned with who I am. Now, remember now, just to, for time's sake, remember David, 1 Samuel chapter 13, and David was picked of all the different people, for what reason? David, here's his big brother, you know, Eliab and all of them. He got everything. And there's little old David with a few sheep out there in the backside of the desert because he's nobody in the family. But he has a heart for God. And that's what God makes it clear to Samuel why he picked him. David lines his heart up, like remember we said, the elevator for 100 times. God's up here, and David comes all the way up. He doesn't want God to come down. David comes all the way up to where God is, and God wants God's will. David wants God's will, God's word. That's what he wants. And so when the elevator opens, there's God. And God looks, and there's David. Wow. They're on the same page. They're on the same page. God found a man after his heart. That's what God was looking for. A man after his heart. God found a man. Wow. Now, So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and having that in front of us a little bit, over if you would please, to see this a little more, Psalm 19. And you would know in Psalm 19. And picking up, please, Psalm 19, in verse 10. Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be, this is God's word now, verse 6, 7, 8. More to be desired are they, the commandments, the fear of God, and all of these things, more to be desired, verse 10, are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Great sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, by in keeping of them there is great reward. So it isn't in the testing, it's the getting educated about the wonderful God, God's wonderful way of working. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. I don't want to go much transgression. I don't want to keep sinning. I don't want to do that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, I'm looking to you, looking to your word. Okay, I got that part. Now, do it a little different way, over to Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, you recall God, it's another way to say it, the believing heart, what are you going to find out? Well, looking at the world, looking, trying to compare himself with the people and what people have and don't have and do and what they don't do. Verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. Great. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. And now I want to hear your heart. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. God, it's your word and your person. It isn't my problems. It isn't the government. It isn't what's going on. It isn't coming and going and trying to have your all life and all work out. No, it isn't about that. No, it's about you, God, and your word. Now, hang on. Having said that little bit, over to first, before we do that, again, over to illustrate Deuteronomy. Think of it, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now remember, what you're looking at is Jeremiah is being tried and tested. Job was tried and tested. But the whole point of all of it wasn't to go through the test and the trial and the heartache and the headache. No, it was to learn to pay attention to God. That's how you pay attention. You have to learn it. So here's Deuteronomy, and remember God, we shared it all, chapter 8. And Israel was after 38 years out there, 39 years, they're about to cross the Jordan. And in the process, in reviewing history, Moses, picking up if I can, verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove, put thee to the test, to know what was in thine heart. That's the whole point. What is in your heart? Not what is in your stomach, and not what is in somewhere in your wallet or in your bank or in your anything. It's what is in your heart. Now, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Verse 33. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and led thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, reason that purpose, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Man lives by God's person and grace. They live by the word. And our Lord, remember, we shared it last time, Matthew 4, and the temptation by the devil, and he hadn't eaten 40 days and nights, no drink, no food. Wow! The devil says, you ought to do something now to eat. And the Lord Jesus answered him, he didn't make any food. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's all. But, no, there is no one. No. What are you trying to do, God? So Jeremiah and Job, God, you're helping, chasing, Hebrews 12, that your people know you. You know, sometimes you sit in prayer, people pray, and they say, give a prayer or say a prayer. And all of that's well and good. God bless it. But wouldn't it be good if you just knew him? If you just go, I'm going to say a prayer. God, wherever you are, what kind of relationship is that? No. God, here you are. Wow. Different. Yes, it is. Absolutely different. So God, you give us an awesome advantage. But we have to go in the school of hard knocks to learn it. Now, in the process, over to 1 Peter. And picking up the thought again, so God, you're going to help us because we have to understand the process in order to get the product. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, and picking up right after James, 1 Peter 1, verse 7. I'll get it. I'll read verse 6 because it's always the same type of context, background. Wherein in great, 1 Peter 1, 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, many, many different sided kinds of temptation, test, being put to the proof in all kinds of different ways. Now, we're going to don't get caught up in that. Verse 7. That, why all those different testing? Why all those different things? Because that the trial of your faith, being put on trial, putting to the proof, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with, there's your word tried again, put to the proof with fire, that it might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, God, you will let all of that, in order to go through the exercise and the education of learning, growing, and understanding. That's correct. Now, so having said that, over to Psalm 138. So, God, we're catching it a little bit. So we have to understand. Otherwise, we're looking to see and understand something, and we're missing the whole purpose of it. And if we miss the purpose of it, we miss the whole event, and it didn't do us much good. Now, and you know the other side of the coin. God said, if I don't love you, I just leave you alone. Go do what you're going to do. I have a limit of what I'll let you do, but go do it. He gave them up to their own heart's lust. Go do it. But if you're loved, you can't get away with that. Nope. And boy, I may God help us love us. Love us. Now, over in, what did I say, Psalm? Oh, thank you. Psalm 138. And here's David. David, help us. And you will know, please, in the process of it all, I will praise thee, 138:1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. Why? For thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God, you have gone. Now, Jeremiah, Job, what are you saying? It isn't about the testing I'm going through. It's about God's word, and I'm not backing away. I'm not putting my Bible on the shelf. I'm not closing it. I'm bending down. God, here I am. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to back away. I want to get its message clear, plain, and simple into my life. Therefore, verse 2, and for thy truths. For thou, God, you have gone and magnified your word, God, above all your name. So here we are looking. You're honoring your word. Aha! You're honoring your word above your name. I am. Now, what do we know? John chapter 1, 1, 2, 3. The word became what? The word was with God, was God, is God, and he made, by his word he made everything. And then the word, that's God the Son, the word of God. Then the word, John 1, 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the word. Now what have you done, God? I have taken my word and put it above all my name. Now, God, why are you, we're again trying to get it clear in my little head. God, what are you after? I'm after you understanding. I have a commitment to be wonderfully who I am, always and forever, in your presence. I am God Almighty. Now, in order to get you to see that, I have to get you to take a look, not at yourself. I'm going to use your circumstances, the conditions, everything around you, the world, the system, culture, and I'm going to try to get you to pay attention. He that cometh to God must believe what? That he is. What are you trying to get us, God? I'm trying to get you to pay attention to my word. I've given my word. I've spoken it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes. Do you understand when I said something? Who's saying it? Who gave the words? 2 Timothy 3. God, you gave the words. That's right. They're my words. God breathed words. Do you understand? I did it. So when you have your Bible, you can see, read, and understand what I'm saying in order to see me, who you can't see. See, you can't see me, but you can have my word. I want the word to be rich and full in your heart so that you can understand who I am. And the only way you're going to do that is for me to have your attention and to get you to lock in so that you don't get so easily distracted, a divided mind, over here, over there, over there, over here, and back to God, over here, over there, and back to God. No, I don't want a divided mind. I want you to be able to be single-hearted and look to me and listen to me. I don't need a lot of your words. I need your heart and ear to understand. So you don't have to tell me a lot. You know, God, I got to explain to you what the problem is. You know, God, I got to help you understand what the problem is down here. You know, no. Now, so God, here we are looking, and my word, and to make it quick over here. Sliding, it's an awesome section, the whole thing. Sliding down to the end. sign down to Psalm 138. David, how are you going to end? Picking up if I can. The Lord will perfect that. The Lord will perfect, complete, finish, bring to a conclusion. The Lord will perfect that which concerned. Do you see the word concern? That is the word appointed in Job. Appointed. I'll read it that way then. Is appointed for me by mercy, God, you're going to do it. It's all appointed for me. In order to what? To perfect, to bring completion, to bring me to the fullness of what it means to be a child of God, to know God as your personal Savior, to know it. Wow, that's an awesome thing. God, and you're going to perfect it, everything that's appointed concerning me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. God, here I am. I don't want to back off. Think of Job. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to back away. Remember what Job is going to say without turning there in Job 42. What's Job going to say? I was so stupid. Think of the Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but what? But you, God. What's heaven? Heaven's nothing without you. That's why we remind ourselves, how far away from heaven you aren't. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have heaven. He is heaven. In an awesome way. Wow. It is in heaven. Let me put that together. He's heaven. God the Son, God in your infinite being is beyond measure, infinite in every direction. Heaven is nothing. Heaven is God. In the presence of God. Wow. Now, So looking now, God, here we are looking to you, and deal with our heart. You're going to go and perfect and make all of this work out in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would, please, in Proverbs. You aren't far away. And each time we read, you can read and read and read, and what's this going to do? It's going to tie the pieces together. God, what are you after? So in my work, my home, my school, my pay, my play, my health, my wealth, all I'm doing, it's about learning about you, God. And if you can ever grab that, that's what it's all about. Now, Proverbs and chapter 30. You'll remember now, I'm going to pick up in the lovely context. Agur, the son, is giving you speaking in the light of all the records, and he's going to say something. And God records it, has it recorded. Picking up verse 5. Verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. No, don't add, don't subtract, don't play games. Two things, verse 7, have I required of thee. Deny me not. Deny me them not before I die. What is that? Remove far from me vanity and lies. God, in the light of my heart, I don't want to have a bunch of junk and thinking and feelings and fears and faults. I don't want to be full of self. I'd like to be looking to be changed, to be like you. Wow. Even the psalmist said that. David said that. Now, so would you take care of verse 8, that I clean my heart up. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And try, put me to the test. Now, Psalm 139. Now, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient, there's your word, appointed for me. I want to have that which is appointed for me. God, how am I going to get my heart right in the light of my coming to you? How am I going to go? God, you're going to have to go and feed me. Feed me. I'm not interested. I'll read it. Look at it again. Feed me. Neither poverty nor riches. In other words, are you looking for everything in your life to work out so you get rich? Nope. Are you looking for everything in your life to become poor? No. I'm looking for you to do a work in my heart so that when I come before you, I'm comfortable, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And verse 9, lest, I don't want this to happen, lest I be full and deny thee. God, I get so comfortable with everything, I just forget about you. And say, where is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I don't want to be proud and forgetful. I don't want to be poor and way out of line. I don't want to do that, God. Isn't that a great prayer? God, I don't want to be like that. Would you do a work in my heart so I don't get like that? Oh, so easy to get like that. Yes, it is. And God help us. Now, one verse in closing that'll tie it together for you. John chapter 4. I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome truth that I think isn't too often understood or exercised. Who prays that way? Who thinks that way? I don't know. Wow. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, may I pick up, please? Our Lord, remember now, verse 32. I'm going to read verse 31. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? We went to McDonald's to get a hamburgers, and we brought back the hamburgers, and he said, He's full. Now, did any of you guys see someone else come and bring him? Maybe he called a pizza place, and they brought him a pizza. I don't know. Who came? No one. What is the truth? Verse 34. Jesus saith unto him, My meat, my food is what? To do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. It isn't about eating. No, it isn't. That's why 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, it's not about eating. Moses, I never heard Moses coming down, up and down, up and down the mountain, and he said, oh, up again, I sure hope I can get a big lunch to take up there. We don't have any lunches. We don't have any water. He isn't even interested. He's discovered what? It isn't about food. It's about God. And when you're going into God, there's everything. And you need nothing. That's correct. God, you're trying to help us understand that. I am.